Okay, Rabbeisai, today's daf is daf Hey, and we're holding three lines from the bottom of the Amud. The shir is Le'ilah Nishmas, my father's Zechana Brucha, Remorcha, Reb Kloinim is Arya. Zal, who for many years was the Gabe of the Daf Yoimi in our Besmedish Perafohant, and very often gave the shir himself. Okay, Rabbeisai, three lines from the bottom. Itmar, Shnei Yom Toivim Shel Rosh Hashanah. As you recall, we're talking about the inyan of the Beya Shenolda B'Yontif, where on that first day of Yontif, when the egg is laid, according to Beis Hillel, which is the way we follow, you're not allowed to go and eat that egg. We discussed yesterday that we have three scenarios which are slightly more complicated. What do I mean? What happens? It's not just one day Yontif, but you have Yontif and Shabbos back to back, either Shabbos first and Yontif second, or Yontif first and Shabbos second. We spoke about the two Yom Tovim Shel Goliyos, and now we're going to enter into that third case of the Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah. You'll recall that we started in yesterday's Gemara, we had that Rava said at the top of this Daf Dalid Amid Beis, Rava said on the second line, Hilchasa Kavosi de Rav Bahani Tlas Bein Kula Bein Lechumra. In all three of these cases, the case of Shabbos and Yom Tov back to back, the case of the Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Goliyos back to back, and Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah this very week, in all three cases, what's the halacha? We paskin like Rav Bein Lekula Bein Lechumra. Because in the case of Shabbos and Yom Tov, Rav was machmir. In the case of the Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Goliyos, Rav was Mekel. And now, once again, Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, again, Rav is Machmir. Now, what are we referring to Machmir and Mekel? We're talking about that the egg was laid on the first day, Osir, Beis Hillel. Can you eat it on the next day? So in the case of Shabbos and Yom Tov together, Rav said no. In the case of Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Goliyos, Rav said yes. And now we're going to talk about the Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah. So this coming week in Me'at Hashem, in fact, 2 days from now, on Tuesday, if a person has a hen, and that hen lays an egg, says Beis Hillel, don't eat the egg today, first day of Yom Tov. Not only are you not allowed to eat it, we learned in the Gemara yesterday that it's Muktzah. You can't use it as a bottle stopper. You can't use it tachas kroyamita. It's muktzah. Okay, fine. But what about the second day of Yom Tov? On Wednesday, will we be able to go and eat that egg? Yes or no? Says the Gemara, Itmash Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah, Rav Shmuel Damachavayu. Rav is accompanied by Shmuel, and both of them say unanimously, Nolda Bezeh Asura Bezeh. If it was laid on the first day of Yom Tov, not only is it usher on the first day, but it's even usher on the second day. How do I know? Tanam, because we learned in the Mishnah. Initially, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, whenever the Edom would come, we would go and accept them, listen to their Edus, and paskin the same day, if there was still enough time, Mekudesh HaChodesh. And in particular, we're talking about now at the end of Elul. It's the 30th day of Elul. We want to know, is Rosh Hashanah going to be today on day 30? Or is it going to be a long Elul? And we're only going to make Rosh Hashanah the next day on the 31st, meaning with the first day of Tishrei. So, in the good old days, Bereshayna, we would listen to the Eidus the entire day, as long as they came before Shkia. If they said, Rabbeisai, we saw the Levana, we'd ask them a bunch of questions. And if the Bezin said, good to Eidus, they would still declare today, meaning the 30th day of Elul, it's no longer Elul, today is the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Now, because nobody knew what's going to happen, the average individual does not have Nevuah, so Rashi tells us the minhag was that people were already noheg iser malacha from the night before. From after Choftes El was over, Leil Lamed, we don't know what's going to be. Are the Edom going to come on day Lamed or Lamed Aleph, or Rosh Hashanah B, tomorrow or the next day, Chvesnish. People were in Machmir, and they didn't do Malacha. Look at the last Rashi, two lines from the bottom of the Amid, Kol Hayoyim, Yoyim Shloshim Shel Elb, Umi Be'erev Hayu Esurim B'Malacha. People were knowing not to do Malacha. Shema Yiskadeh Shachayish L'Malacha. Maybe tomorrow's going to be Rosh Hashanah. V'nimtah Shahalayla Hazeh Yontif. It's like Yontif tonight. Doesn't say that they made Kiddush, but they were knowing Issa Malacha. She came kol hayoyim mitzapim li'edus roi halavana. The whole day we're whistling, we're asking, did the Edom come yet? Did the Edom come yet? Every 5 minutes people would look. Yo, kikimen, nishkikimen, did the Edom come? Ula yavoy, v'choshor sheboyen ad shetechshach, until nightfall, hayim mekablam edus, and mekachin echoydish boy bayoyim. So there were very, very good chances, a very strong likelihood, that the day of Shloshim, the Edom are going to come, whether 9 in the morning, or 12 midday, or 3 in the afternoon, or 5 o'clock, whenever they come, we're going to accept the Edus, and that day will be Rosh Hashanah, so therefore we were knowing Issa Malacha from the night before. Back to the Gemara. Pamachas, one time, Nishto Edom Lovay, the Edom came very late. They came so late that they came after the bringing of what is normally the final carbon every day, that's the Tumid Shulbein HaBoyim, they came after that Tumid. And the Bezdin listened to their Edus and said, okay, Mekudesh HaChodesh today, because it was still before nightfall. So they accepted the Edus, and they said, okay, today is Rosh Hashanah. But there was one problem. V'niskalku halavim v'shir. The shir that the Levium sing at the Tumid Shulbein HaBoyim was the wrong shir. Why? Because Tumid Shulbein HaBoyim is already quite late in the afternoon, and there are no Edom on the scene, so they just assumed that the Edom are only going to come the next morning, so they said the normal shir shel yoyim that they would have said at the Tumid Shulbein HaBoyim. As Rashi explains, in fact, the Levium used to say shir twice a day. I believe it's the same one. In other words, like we said this morning, Lashem Oretz Loya, the shir shel yoyim that we said in the morning, the Levium used to say it twice. Once at Tumid Shel Shachar, once at Tumid Shel Bein or Arboyim. And Rashi tells us that even though people would know Heg Isser Malacha from the night before, but the minig was at the Levium on or at the time of the Shir Shel Shachar, or the time of the Tumid Shel Shachar, would say the Shir Shel Choyl. They wouldn't say the Shir Shel Rosh Hashanah. Because Rashi says 95% of the time, the Edom didn't come that early. After all, the Tumid Shel Shachar was the first carbon brought every single morning. So, even though there's a good likelihood that the Edom are going to come, and Rashi says, even if occasionally, the Edom came before that Tumid Shel Shachar, the minig was the Tumid Shel Shachar, they said the regular, normal, everyday shir. However, the problem was Niskalka Levium Bashir on the Tumid Shel Bein HaBoyim. They didn't expect the Edom to come because it's already 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whatever in the afternoon, and they are now doing the Nisach Hayayin for the Tumid Shel Bein HaBoyim, and the Levium are supposed to say shir, and no Edom on the scene. They said the Tumid, the normal shir shel yoyim, not the shir of Rosh Hashanah. And then after that, 5 minutes later, they finish with the entire Tumid Shel Bein HaBoyim. All of a sudden, Yankel and Beryl run in. Hey, we saw the Levana, we saw the Levana. And the Edom are questioned by the Bezdin. The Bezdin decides, yes, these are kosher Edom. And yes, they saw the Levana. It's Rosh Hashanah. Uh-oh. We said the wrong shir shel yoyim at the time of the Tumid Shel Bein HaBoyim. What are we going to do? And therefore, from that point on, hiskinu, they made a special takana, shelo yehu mekamles edim ella ara mincha. They would only accept edim until mincha time, until mincha. The imbo edim and a mincha ulamal and the hagen uisa yoyim kodesh ulamachar kodesh. So now, how does it help that we're only going to be mekabel the Edom until Mincha? Now when the Gemara says Mincha, of course Mincha has the sense of davening Mincha, but here we're really referring to the Hakrova of the Tumid Shel Bein HaBoyim. Because as you know, our Mincha today is Keneged, it was, Yitzhak Avinu was Masakinet, Keneged the Tumid Shel Bein HaBoyim. And that being the case, zokt Yomara, if we're only going to accept the Edom until the Tomet Shel Ben Arboim, even if they were to come later on, sorry, the Bezin Shtibel, in a sense, is closed. It really wasn't closed. We'll see in a moment. But the point is, we're not going to accept the Edus anymore for today. We're going to go and ask him all the questions. The Bezin is going to decide, yes, they saw the Levana, but guess what? Rosh Hashanah is going to start tonight. Not today. Tonight. But the Edom came today. That was the Takana. The Takana was, we're not going to accept their Edus today. Only until Mincha time. How does it help if we take them until Mincha time? Because that means that the Shir Shalyoim that the Levium are going to sing at the time of the Tomet Shel Ben Arboim will be accurate. It will be correct. It will be that of Choyl. Because we're not going to accept the Edus and declare today the 30th of Elul as being Rosh Hashanah. Instead, we'll accept their Edus and declare tomorrow to be Rosh Hashanah. Which Rashi says has far-reaching ramifications, because that will also depend, that will really determine when Yom Kippur will be, when Sukkot will be, and so on and so forth. So that's a very important takana, that as a result, we're only going to accept the Edom and Amin Cholamah. One second. The Gemara doesn't... Let's get to that question in a moment. But in the meantime, what the Gemara tells us is they would only be mekabel the Edom until Mincha, so we didn't have a problem with the kilkol in the Shir Shalyan. But now what happens with all those people that had previously been refraining from doing malacha since the early, from last night? What are we going to tell all those people? Explains Rashi, that if we tell the people, Reboisai, because the Edom came late, we're not going to accept their Edus for today. Rosh Hashanah is going to be tomorrow. Then people say, oh, so then I can stop refraining from doing malacha. I can run quickly to my office. I can quickly put together a conference call. I can quickly do a Zoom call and try to do a closing. I can cook, I can bake, I can run, I can do whatever I want, because it's no longer going to be Rosh Hashanah. Now that wouldn't be so terrible for this year. The problem is for next year, that people will say, this whole business of refraining from malacha the night before, come on, you're wasting your time, you don't have to refrain from malacha. Look, last year we refrained from malacha, and then it came at the end of the day, and they said, it wasn't Yom Tov today, the whole thing was, what do they say in America? It was all fake news. It wasn't really Yom Tov. We just wasted our time. We could have accomplished. We could have taken trains and buses and we could have done them. Therefore, they were mesakin in Boa Edom and Mincha Lamala, Noigen Vayoyim Kodesh, Olamachar Kodesh. Both today is Kodesh and tomorrow is Kodesh. So even though Rosh Hashanah is only going to start from tonight, and it's going to be Aleph Tishrei from tonight, nevertheless, we're going to continue the Noheg Kodesh. So therefore, we knew for a fact that today is not going to be Rosh Hashanah. Tomorrow is going to be Rosh Hashanah. But the Chachamim were Mesakein, both day Kodesh. Therefore, says the Gemara, that's why Rabbi Shmuel said back on the Amid Beis, that nold bezeh asura bezeh, because it's no longer like a Yom Tov Shevi Shel Golias where there's a suffix. There's no suffix. I know for sure Yom Tov starts tomorrow, not today. Nevertheless, I am noik kodesh. This chok, this legislation by the Chachamim was such that the Chachamim, our Gemara, considers this to be kedusha achasi, not a sveika diyoma, but one lengthy kedusha, and because of that, everybody would agree, says Rav Shmuel, that nolde bezeh asura bezeh. Now before we continue on, Barry asked a question about Kiyah Shofar. Toisus asks a question that Rav Shloima posed yesterday when we were learning the daf, and that is, we're only concerned about the Shir Shal Yoyim by Tomet Shel Ben Arboim. Well, in other words, what happened? Tomet Shel Ben Arboim was brought, ich weiß, lamezog, late in the day, 5 o'clock. Mesechtas Pesachim says that they brought it earlier, but let's make it 5 o'clock. They brought the Tomet Shel Ben Arboim. They sang the wrong shir. They sang the Shir Shal Yoyim of Choyl instead of the Shir Shal Yoyim of Kodesh. The Edom walked in at 5:30, and we said, oh no, what a boo-boo. Today, after all, is Rosh Hashanah. The Edom just came in. They're telling us they saw the Levana. We asked them all the questions. They said the wrong Shir Shal Yoyim. says, Toisus, don't we have a much more basic question? What about the Karban Musaf? If today is Rosh Hashanah, if they're going to declare today is Rosh Hashanah, I didn't bring the Karban Musaf, what am I going to do? That's Toisus' kashi. That was explained as kashi yesterday. And the Toisus gives a number of terutim. Basically, what Toisus says is that it's going to be this din, that you cannot bring a carbon after the Tumat Shul Bein Arboim, is what we call a din Hashlama. What means a din Hashlama? Because it says in the Pasuk, Olea Hashlein Kol Har Karbonis Kulan. Tumat Shul Bein Arboim is supposed to be the final carbon that day, no more karbonis. However, says Toisus, that's if a private individual wants to bring his carbon. What happens if the Rabbim needs to bring a carbon? The Chiyuv of the carbon, the Rabbim will trump the din of Hashlam. See, that's the long Toisus here on the side. About halfway down the Toisus, you see in the beginning of the line, there's a parenthesis, Psochem Nuntes, and then you see Va'oid Yeshloimar. It's about 10 lines before the middle wide lines. Va'oid Yeshloimar, the Osi Asei the Rabbim. The dochi asei de hashlama mishum di alim tfei. This asei de rabbim, meaning the card musaf of rabbim, will push aside the asei of hashlama of aleo hashlam kolak kabanis kulam, and we're going to bring the carbon musaf after the Tamid Shul Bein Arboim. Because in fact, we find that also by Pesach. The achim rinim tamid nishchad, the asei asei de Pesach, the onush koreis. So just like on Erev Pesach, people brought the karbonos Erev Pesach even after the Tumat Shul Bein Arboim, even though normally Tumat Shul Bein Arboim is the last karbon, not an Erev Pesach, because that was an Asei Derabim Sheyesh Bei Karis. Here too, it's an Asei Derabim. It doesn't have Karis, but Asei Derabim, it is stronger, it supersedes the din of Hashlam. Toisus gives another couple of answers, Ayin Shah. As far as your question about blowing the shofar, so, assuming that there was enough time in that day, of course they would go and blow the shofar. But otherwise, presumably they couldn't, because, I mean, maybe they were machmir, and they blew the shofar without a bracha, just to be in the safe side. You never know, to be in the safe side, maybe they blew shofar. The Gemara doesn't discuss it, but after this takana, when they said we're no longer going to accept the Eidim after Mincha Olamala, and even if they come, we're going to declare tomorrow Rosh Hashanah, they'll only have to blow tomorrow, they won't have to blow today, because today is not Rosh Hashanah. But nevertheless, don't do Malacha anymore today, because we're afraid that next year people will be Mezalzel and do Malacha on the 30th of El. Hopefully that addresses your question. Yes, Mazakhtir?
But Pesach, though, we had, I seem to remember, we had a limud why we could do the Pesach after the Korban Tumid Shul Bein Arboim.
You mean a specific pasuk?
I don't remember, but I seem to remember that we just said, well, hey, we could do it. There was a reason why we could do the Korban Pesach.
I believe the Gemara said,
if it says Bein Arboim or something.
I believe what you're saying is correct. The Gemara says over there, Ye ocher carbon that says in it both Erev and Bein Arboim, to the carbon Tumat Shul Bein Arboim, where it only says Bein Arboim. You're right. However, the Rashi, I'm sorry, Toisus apparently is learning with a Mamatzinu, that just like we find over there that there are exceptions to the rule of this Hashlama, it's not one of those rules without any exceptions. There are exceptions. So just like there's an exception for the Karban Pesach, there's also an exception here for the case of this rare situation where the Eidim come late, that you can go and bring the Karban Musaf after the Tumat Shul Bein Arboim. Anyway, so we now understand why Rav holds that the din of Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah is different than the Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Goliyos, because the Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Goliyos is based on a suffix, and therefore we know that one day is Kodesh, one day is Chol, but because we have a suffix, we have to be Machmir, so it's not the same Kedusha, one is really Kodesh, one is really Chol. That's why if it was late on day one, You could eat it on day two. But over here, in the case of Rosh Hashanah, even though I know for sure that Rosh Hashanah is tomorrow, they declared that Hayom Kodesh Ulamachar Kodesh. That was a special choik of the Chachamim. Therefore, it has a status like Kedusha Achas, like a Yoyma Arichta, and therefore the egg which is laid on the first day is also even on the second day. Amar Rabba, fourth line from the top. In later generations, when Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made his takana, and we had, as you recall, earlier on, back at the end of Masechtas Sukkah, that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a number of takanois. Remember, one of them was Sheyim Hanaf Kula Asur. What was Yom Hanaf? That's the first day of Chol HaMoed of Pesach, that the whole day is Asur, and you don't say that you can go and eat the Chodesh from early in the morning. Or the Takanas of Yochanan Zakkai. Anyway, so getting back to when Yochanan Zakkai was also Masakin, that we should go and take the Lulav all 7 days, Bigvulin, even though in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, we only took the Katan Lechempi of Arishoin, it was only in the Beis HaMikdash that you took it 7 days. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a number of takonis, and one of the takonis he made, Mishachor Beis HaMikdash, not Mishachor Beis HaMikdash, Hitzkun of Yochanan Zakkai, Shemakabim, Eidus Chodesh Kol HaYoim. Yes, we should be Mekabel, Eidus HaChodesh Kol HaYoim. What's the reason why? The whole reason for the original takona was because of the kilkul of the shear of the Levium by the Tamash of Ben Aboyim. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, unfortunately, there's no longer a carbon Tamash of Ben Aboyim at which time the Levium are singing, because unfortunately the Beis HaMikdash is no longer. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, we no longer need that original takana. We're going to go back to the Barishoina. Shemekam Eidus HaChodesh Kol HaYoim until Shkia, until nightfall. We're going to continue taking Eidus HaChodesh. And if the Eidim say that we saw the Levana and we're Mekayim the Eidus, then that day will be the only day Rosh Hashanah. L'choira, only that day. And we're not going to go and say the next day is Rosh Hashanah. There's no need. The Eidim came in time. It's still day. And we found that today happens to be Rosh Hashanah, period. Amli Abaye. So Abaye said to Rabba, for Rabu Shmuel Yamar Tavayu, Beya Asura. According to what you're saying now, Rabba, that the Mekabit Eidus HaChodesh Kol HaYoim, and that if in fact Eidim come 5 minutes before Shkia, and we can quickly ask them all the questions, and we determine that it's true that today was Rosh Hashanah, then there's only one day Rosh Hashanah, and that's it. We're not going to make the next day Rosh Hashanah. Again, that's how the Gemara assumes at this point. And if that's the case, what are you telling me that Rabbi Shmuel, the Amir Tavayu, know the Bezeh, Asura Bezeh? It's not going to be Osir on the second day. There, in fact, won't even be a second day, because there's no need to make a second day. The Eidim came in time, we were stable able to be in the Kaddish. Obviously, this was only a short interval in our history, because as we know, this inyan of being Mekadesh the Chodesh after the Churban Beis HaMikdash was not long lived. The whole institution of the Bezna Gadol Mit Sanhedrin, Lishkas HaGozis, this was in the waning hours of that period. It's already after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But at least during that period of time, before they were, the Hillel was Mesak and the Luach, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, they still were Mekabel the Eidus from Eidim, and therefore, if the Eidim came on the first day, we only had a 1 day Rish Chodesh, 1 day Rosh Hashanah, and not 2 days. But that means that they're saying that there's always a second day, and that it's always going to be awesome from 1 day to the next. What's going on? Amalei, so Rabba responded to Abaye, Amin lecho anor Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, v'yat amris li Rabbi Shmuel. I am bringing you a Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai lived at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rav and Shmuel were of the earliest Amoiroim. Rav is a shtikl Tanahu Upalik, but he's certainly later than Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So you're asking me Akasha on Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai from Rav and Shmuel. Zok to Yomorah, Ul Rav and Shmuel, Kasha Masnissen. Okay, I can't ask Akasha from Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Rav is correct, but I have a kasha now on Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel obviously knew this Mishnah, and if the Mishnah says that Mishachorah Beis Hamikdash were now mekabel the Eidus HaChodesh Kol HaYoyim like it was initially, then if the Eidim came the first day, there's only one day. If the Eidim came only the second day of Rosh Hashanah, then it'll only be the second day. It's not a two-day automatic thing like before Rabbi Yechonam and Zakkai. So why are Rav and Shmuel, the Amri Tavayu, no the Bezeh, Asura Bezeh? Evdim Olei Kasha. Halon v'halahu. What means halon v'halahu? So Rashi explains that the only major tidal wave of change as a result of the Takan of Yechim and Zakkai was only in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Torah of Yechim and Zakkai, they were noyig even in Yerushalayim 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, like we have today. Then why did they have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Again, like we said before, because maybe the Eidim are going to go and come in late. And even though we're not going to accept their Eidus for today, we're going to say that Rosh Hashanah is tomorrow, but Hayinoyagin Oysa Yoim Koidish Ulamachar Koidish. And therefore, both in Yerushalayim, as well as in the whole Eretz Yisrael, as well as in Chutz Laretz, 2 days of Yom Tov. But now that Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai came on the scene and said, no, let's go and be mekabel the Eidus Kol HaYoyim, you know what's going to happen? If the Eidim in fact come late in the day on the 30th of Elul, we will accept them, and today will be Rosh Hashanah, and there won't be a Rosh Hashanah tomorrow. It's only going to be a single day Rosh Hashanah in Yerushalayim. But in Chutz Laretz, we don't know whether the Eidim came in the afternoon or not. After all, no emails, no faxes, no telephones. So nobody knows what's going on in Chutz Laretz. We're going to have to wait until the Shluchim come. So automatically, in Chutz Laretz, they continue the same minhag that preceded Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and they continued being noheg, oiseyoyim koidish, ulamacher koidish, 2 days straight. And not bitzad sofik raboisai, although it was a sofik, when did the Eidim come, first day or second day. Rashi explains, however, because of the fact that there was that original takana, and that takana was oiseyoyim koidish, ulamacher koidish, even after Yochanan ben Zakkai came on the scene, the Chazal, in times of the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, said that in Chutz Laretz, there's really no change, because they don't know whether the Eidim came earlier, they came later, so keep it the way it was until now, Oisei Yom Kodesh, Olamachar Kodesh, 2 days straight, Kodesh, not al Tzofik, but that's Choyk Chachom. That's why Rabbi Shmuel, in Chutz Laretz, said that the Halacha is, Noil de Bezeh, Asur Bezeh. But that wouldn't be the case in Eretz Yisrael. Halon Bahalu. That's the end of the initial discussion. Now, the Gemara is going to have a number of Amayroim that are going to disagree with Rabbah. And the first one is Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef Amar, Av mi tekonis Rav Yechim and Zakkai ve'eilech beya asura. Even after the tekonis Rav Yechim and Zakkai, the egg is going to be asur not only on the first day, on Lamed Elul, but even the next day. Why? My timer. This is a famous rule that you have throughout Chas, that whenever you have a takana by any bezdin, if you want to go and be mevatel that takana and do something different, you need a new minyan ach lehatiroi. Our Gemara doesn't go into it, but other Gemara say that it has to be a greater bezdin, both bechochma ubeminyan. It's got to be real giants. We're not going to just accept new rabbis coming along and saying, we want to go and change the rules. It's got to be a real distinguished bezin, at least as great, if not greater than the original bezin. And therefore, what our Gemara is saying, according to Rav Yosef, we know that the Beya is Asura, like we learned in our Mishnah. You want to be Matir the Beya, like Rabbah was saying. Remember, what did Rabbah say on the fourth line? Amar Rabbah, Tekonas, Yibichim, and Zakei, the Eilach, Beya, Muteres. Not Muter on the first day, but it's going to be mutter on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Said Rav Yosef, oh no, to go and make this veya mutter, we'd have to have a new congress of all the rabbis getting together, all the Sanhedrin or all the Zakenim, make a new, and this never happened, and therefore it remains Osir, and therefore couldn't Rav Yosef, we understand Rav and Shmuel, even though Rav Yechem and Zakai made his takana was the Gabi Edis HaChoydish, but he didn't talk about eggs, and so therefore the egg remains osir even by Yoim HaShegi. As they zog to Rav Yosef. Now, how do I know, Omer Rav Yosef, Minu Aminullah, even though we know that there is this famous rule, called Dabash of Minyan Tzarech Minyan Achalat Tirei, but what's the makar? What's the source of this rule? Says Rav Yosef, I have three sources. Tichsiv, one source is, Leich Emor Lehem Shuv Lechem Lo Lechem. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Klal Yisrael, go home. It's after Har Sinai. The Luchos have been given. The Torah has been given. Klal Yisrael, it's done. You can go home now. That's one raya. I don't know what the raya is yet, but that's one raya. V'oimer, I have another raya. Again, we're talking about Har Sinai. After they finished blowing the ram's horn, in other words, the shofar, then everybody can get back and go on to the har again. Until now, you had to go and have prisha, hafrosha, stay away from the har. Now, everybody can go back up. So that is raya number two. I don't know what the raya is yet. The Gemara is going to explain both rayas on the Amid base. But then there's a third source, a third raya. Here it says, V'tanya, really it's Utnan, Chava Mishnah, Kerem Ravai, Hoya Oili, Yerushalayim, Mahalach, Yoim, Echad, Chol Tzad. V'zui Tchuma. What is this Mishnah coming to tell us? Everybody knows Halacha Ma'asu Shaini. Ma'asu Shaini means in the first and second year, and again in the fourth and fifth year of the 6-7 year Shemitah cycle, you always have to take a second Ma'aser, called Ma'asu Shaini, and bring it up to Yerushalayim. But what happens if I live in Tel Aviv, and Baruch Hashem, I'm a very wealthy farmer, and I have tons and tons of Ma'aser Sheni, K'leisuchal se'esoy. I can't go and schlep all this Ma'aser Sheni Yerushalayim, I'm going to have to go and hire a whole choo-choo train to go and take all of this Ma'aser Sheni. Ech kenish. So therefore, the Torah says, you know what you can do? K'yichak mimcha ha'mokoyim. What you can do is, v'tzarta kesef b'yarcha. You can go and be machal all that Ma'aser Sheni on money and take the money to Yerushalayim. Much easier. Don't have to take all of these payers. What happens with that money? When you get to Yerushalayim, you'll use that money to go and buy food, including carbon shlamim and other food items, and you'll enjoy in Yerushalayim. So yeah, fine. The same halacha Rabbi say applies to the din of Revai. What's Revai? Whenever a person goes and plants a brand new Eitz Ma'achol, a new fruit tree. For the first 3 years, we know the Torah says, "Tatekol Eitz Ma'achol Sholi Shonam Yilachem Areidam Lo Yiyachol." For the first 3 years, it's orally you're not allowed to eat it. Not only you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to even have hanoah from the fruits of Arla. What happens the fourth year? Fourth year as a din of Revai. Is a machloikis whether it applies to all fruits or only to kerem. The last Rashi points this out, is a machloikis whether it's netter ravai, kerem ravai, whether all fruits are only by grapes. That's why this Mishnah is simple. We only talk about the grapes, we're not talking about all the other fruits. Everybody agrees by grapes is a din of kerem ravai. The same halacha, just like Ma'aser Sheni, that all of the produce of the fourth year, not 10%, all of the produce of the fourth year, take it up to Yerushalayim. And if it's too heavy, too much, you can be poided mechalit on money and take money instead. Now that's the halacha min haTorah. Midrabanan it says in the Mishnah, Ken Ravai Hayoil Yerushalayim Mahalach Yom Echad Lechol Tzad. The Chachamim decided that everybody who lives within 1 day's distance should bring the Ken Ravai up to Yerushalayim and not be poided it on money. Now exactly what's the case in Mahalach Yom Echad? So the Gemara tells us the dimensions of the Mahalach Yom Echad. I don't know whether these towns are in the same place, and some of them whether they even exist today, but at least some of these towns' names will be familiar to us, but whether they're the same today as they were then, Vesach Nish. V'zui Tchuma, this is the Tchuma in all four directions. Eilat, we all know where Eilat is today. Not Minatzofay, Minadorim. You see, they changed the gears to Minadorim. In the south, Eilat. The Akrav is Minatzofay, a place called Akrav is in the north. Lud Minhamarev on the left side of Yerushalayim, on the western side. The Yarden Minamizrach and the Jordan River, or the towns next to the Jordan, Minamizrach, from the Mizrach side to Yerushalayim. So if you live in that entire area, and you have Kerem Ravai, bring it to Yerushalayim. What's the reason why? We want Yerushalayim to look gorgeous, beautiful. It should have an abundance of the blessings of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. When people bring in the money, they are only buying the pre-existing foods which are ready in Yerushalayim. When I'm bringing brand new fruits, Baruch Hashem, I'm filling up the marketplace, the whole Machane Yehuda, everywhere, wherever you go, there are tons and tons of fruits, and people say, Baruch Hashem, beautiful, gewaldic, look, the brachos of Yerushalayim, Kriv Ater, Shuk Yerushalayim. I remember my wife and I, we're going back now some 30 years ago or so, we were sent by the Aguda Eshluchim to Russia, to go and learn with some of the Bali Tshuva, and try to mechazik the Yiddishkeit, etc. Anyway, so besides learning with them, we were also supposed to do some touring, so that it wouldn't be obvious that we came for Avodas HaKodesh. So we walked down Gorky Street in Moscow. Gorky Street in Moscow was the equivalent of, ich weiß, Broadway, Fifth Avenue, Main Street. It was a major, major thoroughfare in Moscow. And we went past a fruit store. So we figured, okay, let's go and buy some fruit. We go inside the fruit store and we look around. Are there any bananas? No. Are there any peaches? No. Are there any oranges? No. The only thing that they had in the store were apples. They had big apples and small apples and medium apples. That's all they had. The Ganze Gorky Street, the main thoroughfare in Moscow, only apples, nothing else. It showed you that at that time it was still under communism, that they were, it was basically like a third world country. So why am I telling you this story? Because when we came back afterwards, a couple of days later, my wife and I were traveling in a taxi, and the taxi driver was a former Russian. So we engaged him in conversation, and we told him, we just came back from Moscow a few days ago. No, how was it? So we told him about the story about the fruit store on Gorky Street, that the only thing they had were apples. And then he looks at me and he says, really? They actually had apples? He couldn't believe they had apples. He would have thought that the store would have been empty because of all the corruption and the communism, there was nothing to buy anywhere. They actually had apples. Wow, unbelievable! We went into a supermarket, which looked like a small supermarket here in America. It had maybe 8 aisles or so. Of the 8 aisles, 7 of the aisles were totally empty. Not one bag, not one box, nothing. 7 of the 8. The 8th aisle was full of cans of beans. And people told us, you know why those beans are there? For you American tourists to think that there's at least something in the store. We here in Moscow know, don't buy those beans because they come from Bulgaria and they will all lead to botulism. If you eat them, you're going to get stomach aches, terrible. You'll have to go to the hospital. So that's why nobody buys them. That's why they have all those beans. They leave them there that you Americans should think, oh, Russia is the land of wealth. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is, here's the contrast, the very stark contrast, that they wanted Yerushalayim to look bountiful, full of abundance of peiros. And therefore they told everybody, bring the peiros to Yerushalayim if you live within a 1 day radius. And in fact, Betanya, we learned in the Braisa, Kerem Ravai, Hoyulu the Reblezer, the Mizrach Lud, he had Kerem Ravai to the Mizrach side of Lud. Remember we said Lud was to the Marav of Yerushalayim. So Rashi explains Mizrach Lud means that it was in between Yerushalayim and Lud. He had a field with Kerem Ravai, which is Bitzad Kfar Tavi, next to a town called Kfar Tavi. And what did he want to do? Ubikesh lahafkir laniyim. There were so many payers. Baruch Hashem, he had a tremendous bounty of payers. And he says, I can't schlep all this to Yerushalayim. It's just too much. and therefore bikish tafkir laniyim. He figured I'll be mafkir to the aniyim and let the aniyim bring it to Yerushalayim. I don't have the koyach, I don't have the time, I don't have the patience, I don't have the money, I can't do it. Let the aniyim do it. And Amar Leih Talmidim, and the Talmidim said to him, Rabbi, kvar nimnu alecha chavirecha v'yitiru. They were already matir. Now why were they matir? Although the Gemara didn't tell us until now, but Rashi says because unfortunately, this story that we're talking about with Rebbe Lezer, the Mizrach Lud, this was already after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. After the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, there were few, if any, Jews left in Yerushalayim. It was basically now, says Rashi, a place where the Goyim lived. We don't need to go and be ma'atir the Shuke Yerushalayim for the benefit of the Goyim that conquested and took over the conquered Yerushalayim. When the Yidden lived there, they were proud of all of this abundance. When the Goyim are there, let them bring the Kerem Ravai to Yerushalayim. Why do we Jews have to go and bring Kerem Ravai so that the Goyim should feel good that they have an extension of the Roman Empire or whatever? Yes, Barry.
It's not only just that it's just when you have money chasing after a fixed quantity of payrolls, the price will go up.
Uh-huh.
You have payrolls instead of money coming to Yerushalayim, the payrolls for all the residents of Yerushalayim less expensive.
Uh-huh.
It was not just an economic calculation that when Jews were near Yerushalayim, they should be able to benefit from those payrolls fully because you would sell them in Yerushalayim. It will reduce the price of payrolls for everybody.
Very nice, very nice. You're adding a nice dimension. If you look at the Rashi starting on the second line from the top, Kvar nimnu lecha chavirecha v'tiruhu, they were already matir, lifdoisoi, now we can be poid it, ula lois doma ben bring the money up to Yerushalayim, v'yavagav l'achar achorm hava, even though it's really after the chorm, kasar v'kidush rishoyne, kishu l'shavik, kishu l'asalovoy, v'tzorch l'halis apeiro, yisai adam, and you have the requirement one of the two, but since there are no longer Jews living here, you can bring the money. Next Rashi. Time the nimnu hale nimnu loy. The avagab the memela less the takanta kamaisa. There's no need for the first takana. The whole purpose was to make your shalim look beautiful. What do I need to go and bring payers to make the nochrim happy and to make it look bountiful or like Barry says for economic reasons? So now getting back to the Gemara. So remember, the purpose of bringing this story with Kerem Ravai, which is fascinating, is all to go and prove Rav Yosef's point that any time you have a takana and you want to go and change the takana, you need a tzarech minyan achil hatira. So the Gemara says over here at the top, again, Reb Lezer wanted to be mafke the payers not to have to schlep them to Yerushalayim. So Omer Leih Talmidim, the Talmidim said, Rebbe, kvar nimnu alech chavirecha v'tiru. All of the chaverim, I guess, tanoim, other tanoim, have already gotten together, and they rescinded the original takana of the chazal that everybody should go and bring up the peiros kerem ravai within one day's distance to Yerushalayim. Man chavirecha, who's the nimnu olav chavirecha? Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Zokti more tamo the nimnu. That's only because nimnu alecha chavirecha. They made a new minion. But if they would not have made another minion, no. So in other words, what do I need a minion for? Any intelligent person that has a little bit of seichel will realize there's no purpose in this takana any longer. Because there's no yidin anymore. There's a chorm beis hamikdash. We should celebrate the abundance of peiros in Yerushalayim and see in the background nebuch how the beis hamikdash is destroyed and how many houses are destroyed and how many yidin were killed and nebuch for the goyim. I mean, it's crazy. Of course there's no need anymore for this takana. But you couldn't just go and say, well, logically, there's no purpose of takana, just forget about it. No, no, no. You have to have nimnu chavirecha, you have to have a new minion. So that was the third rai that Rav Yosef brought, that any time you want to make a new takana, you have to go, you can't just say, the old reason doesn't apply, you have to have a new minion to go and be matir. Now,
Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was a beis din. He had a beis din.
And that's why he was talking matir. Man chavirecha Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai.
So what would you
Reb Lezer had not heard of this minion that got together to be matir, and therefore he thought that it was still intact, and that's why he was still bringing his peiros up to Yerushalayim. But I can't bring all the peiros to Yerushalayim, it's just too heavy. I'm going to be mafkir them. So all the Talmidim told me, you don't have to be mafkir. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was this new minion, and this new minion was mavatal, the takon of the first minion, so there it's fine. But that's what Rabbi Yossi's proof is, that any time you have a takon, you need a minion achal atira. It's not just that the Tam no longer applies, you have to go and be masakin a new takana with a minyan achar. Okay, Brother Shai?
So Rabbi Yosef agrees with that. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai could rescind the
earlier takana bringing Kerem Ravai. That's correct.
No, I'm talking about on the about
Eidus Sechoidish.
Until the whole day, you can accept the witness.
Yes, he accepted that as well. Rav Yosef's only point is that vis-a-vis the egg situation, Rav Yosef was egging them on, and he said, on the issue of the egg, we do not find that there was a new minion that came together to be matir, and so therefore the old takana that the day one of Rosh Hashanah, if an egg is laid, it's osir that day, and it's osir the next day. That takana remains intact until another bezin comes and legislates that we are matir, there's no longer such an isser in the egg. That was Rabbi Yossi's point.
No exception.
Very good. Shkoyach. All right, Brother Shai, we're going to get back to...
Yes,
no problem. We're going to get back to this in another moment. But in the meantime, Rav Yossi is trying to bring you to emphasize his point that he has three proofs that even though there was no need any longer for the original takana, if you want to go and forget about that takana, you can't just forget. You have to have another minyan acher to go and be matir, the iser of that original takana. Jokti Gemara. Let's go back to the first two proofs. Remember in the Amud Aleph, we had three proofs. Proof number one is Ma'ivi Oimer, Hachikon, Mechtik, Sivahayu Nechon, Mishloishas, Yom, Maltik, Shuel, Isha. We know there's a din of the people had to go and Shloishas in the Hagbalah, being mafresh both from the mountain, as well as they had to be mafresh from their wives, so that there would be Betachlis HaTahara, when it came to Har Sinai, and they had to go and stay away from the wives for 3 days. Now, as soon as the luchas are given and the Torah is given to Klal Yisrael on Har Sinai, as soon as it's all over, they finish blowing the shofar, it's done. What happens now to the husbands? The husbands are going to go home anyway. There's no purpose in continuing to abstain from relations with their wives because there's no longer an inyan that we should be betahara at the time of Har Sinai. Har Sinai is done. We're finished. Go home. Nevertheless, the pasuk says, "Leich emor lehem shuvu lochem lo lechem." Pretty much, lamali. It's a gedolah pashit. Don't stay here. You're going to stay here in Har Sinai for the next 5 years. Har Sinai is over. Gates are hanged. Now, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to tell Moshe Beinu, Leich Emelem, tell them, go home now. Of course you're going to go home. After Moshe, Mami, no, what do I see from this? Now we don't really mean minyan per se. What we really mean is, what was the original decree of Heyu Nechoyim L'Shloshes Yamim? Which Bezdin decided that? The Bezdin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bayer Shamala, with the Malachim or without the Malachim, decided, Azay is this, the Bayside, the next 3 days, abstain from relations with your wives. So now, it's all because of Matan Torah. Matan Torah is over, so automatically, L'choyra, that declaration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you will, ends or fades away. No purpose in it anymore. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, that's not enough. I make a new takana, a new minyan, a new bezin, being of course the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself, Kaviyochu, and he said, no, go home. Shema minah, kodovish a minyan, tzarech minyan achal atira. V'chitayman, maybe you're going to say, no, I don't like that raya. You know why I don't like that raya? Because l'mitzvahs oynehu da'asa. This is not just permitting people to go home, but this in fact is a mitzvah, where Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Raboisa, you have abstained from relations with your wives for the last 3 days. Go home and be with your wives. and enjoy relations, have oina, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving them a new mitzvah. And if that's the case, it's not pshat that Kodesh Baruch Hu is now rescinding the original takana that didn't need rescission because Har Sinai is over. But nevertheless, you always need a bezin achil hatirai to rescind and to make the new takana. No. Maybe Rabbi Yosef is wrong. And you don't need a new bezin. The only reason why it says shuv lechem lalechem is to give them a brand new mitzvah. If that's what you're going to answer, b'chisayma lemitzvahs oinu d'yasa, therefore I have proof number two. Toshima, it says in the pasuk, b'mshoicha yoivel heima yalu v'har, that as soon as the yoivel, the ram's horn blowings of the shoifer end, everybody can return and go up and down the mountain, you can go mountain climbing, no problem. Frey Timura, why do we need that pasuk? Mechtik Sim is in the pasuk, kamatzvim v'baka yiru el mul ha-hor ha-hu, that as long as the Matan Torah has not taken place yet, and until the end of Matan Torah, you have to have Hagbola, stay away from the Har, be mafresh from the Har, like you have over here in Pasuk Dalit and Torah or Asholim. The Ish Layali Imach Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody should go up with you. The Gam Isha Yerah B'chol Har, nobody should be seen next to the mountain. Gam Atzoyim V'Boka Al Yiru Al Mul Harahu, stay away. How long? Until the end of Matan Torah. Okay, Matan Torah is over. The shofar ended. So, everybody using their own seichel knows, I'm going home now. Or, they use their own seichel, I can now go to the top of the mountain. And maybe I can go and take a picture, and take home some sort of a souvenir from Matan Torah, from Har Sinai. And tell all my friends, look what I have. I have a picture, and I have a stone, I have something from Har Sinai. It was self-understood that you can go back on the Har. You think, it's also to go in Har Sinai forever and ever until Mashiach. Avada became mutter. So why does the pasuk have to say b'mshoicha yoivel heima yalu v'har? So if you mar b'mshoicha yoivel lamali shema minot v'shema min zarech minyan achal atiray. Even though al piseichel we understand that the initial legislation or the initial rule no longer applies, nevertheless you need a new statement of a new bezin, in this case of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though the original tam no longer applies, still you can't rescind it unless you make a new statement of a new bezin, in this case Rabbi Shlomo himself, that you can go back on. Okay, so therefore I have my two rayas. The first raya, which is a little shvach, because the first raya may be Kodesh Baruch was giving us a brand new mitzvah. But certainly the second raya is a strong raya. So Zuknimara, what do I need the third raya for? The raya from the Mishnah about Kerem Revai. Oh, Adin Torah, something that says in the Torah, if you want to go and change the rules in the Torah, you have to have a minyan acher. And in fact, none of us have that power. Only the Rabbi Yisrael himself has that power. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, he can go and change the Torah. Avid Rabbanan Loi. Maybe when it comes to Din Rabbanan, if great rabbis made a beautiful takana, if after that it makes no sense, then forget about it. You don't have to continue with that takana. And therefore, in the case of the Kerem Revai, the Marshal, it makes no sense anymore to go and bring up fruits for beauty reasons or for economic reasons or for any reasons because there are no Jews living in Yerushalayim or maybe only a minyan, whatever. Toshimas abriyirayim by derabbanan. Kerem Revai derabbanan. Not that the mitzvah of Kerem Revai is derabbanan. Kerem Revai is in the Torah. However, the din that people have to bring their payers to Yerushalayim and not bring money to Yerushalayim, that's midrabbanan. And remember what the Talmidim say to Reb Lezer, Rabbi Yochum and Zaki was already matir. So you see, any time that there was a takana, even midrabanan, you can't just say, okay, the rabbanan no longer, this takana no longer applies, it makes no sense, you need a minyan acher lihatir. So, what's Rav Yossi's point? The point is, nobody was matir the beya, and therefore, the beya that was osir initially because of the original takana remains hayoim kodesh, ulamachar kodesh, the egg remains osir both days of Rosh Hashanah, everywhere. No, maybe Rabbi Yochanan Zaki was matir the beya. Now, it's not that they were matter the Beya directly, that they got together and they said, okay, Rabbi Yisai, it's time to focus once again on Masechtas Beya and to go and be matter the daya that was laid the first day and say that it's kosher, you can eat it on the second day. No, they didn't. They certainly didn't do that. Now, why didn't they do that? Because there was no bezin initially that said that an egg which is laid the first day is osir on the second day. It's just that those are the natural ramifications as a result of the fact that we're no longer accepting the Eidim min ha-mincha ulamala, and therefore, since everybody was noheg isser malacha from the night before, and we don't want next year that people should be mezalzel, that's why they made that original takana, and said, hayoyim kodesh ulamachar kodesh, both days are kodesh, and therefore don't eat the egg the first day, and don't eat the egg the second day. Now, that was not part of the takana about the eggs. It's just that's the normal ramification. That since the first day and the second day are both kodesh, and we're assuming it's kedusha achasi, that's why it's also the second day. So I don't need a new bezin to go and undo the takana of the first bezin. There was no takana of the first bezin. And thus break gets the Gemara. V'chitzeim ha-beyanami imnu ala Rabbi Yechonam Adzaka v'sharyua. How? When? Ki. Imnu a-edis a-beyali imnu. You're going to tell me that they were only nimna on the Eidus. Rabbi Yechim and Zaki only got together on the Eidus, but they didn't get together on the Beya to be matra the Beya. It's only a Baya. Or to Beya b'minyan nihava. Beya b'Eidus talya milza. It's her Eidus, it's her Beya. Ishtri Eidus, Ishtri Beya. So Abaya is telling Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef was saying that there was no new bezdin to be matir the bay of the second day. You don't need another bezdin to be matir the bay of the next day. It's automatic. Since you agree that Rabbi Yehoshua and Zaka changed the rules regarding the Eidus HaChodesh, so then automatically the rules change with regard to the Beya, because the whole reason why the Beya is also the second day is because they did that first day Kodesh and the second day Kodesh. After Rabbi Yehoshua and Zakai, there was no need to have 2 days Kodesh in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Either the Eidim came the first day, Kodesh the first day, or they came after Shkia, after Tzeis, then it's the second day. No 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, so there's no longer this din of Asur Bezeh, Nozer Bezeh, Asur Bezeh. So therefore it's an automatic type of thing. When Eidus was Asur, meaning that they didn't take Eidus anymore after Mincha Ulamala, it's a bay, and the bay was usher both days. But Ishtri Eidus, now that I permit Eidim to come in a Mincha Ulamala, Ishtri Bay. So therefore, Rav Yosef's Taina against Rabba says Abai is really not a Taina. Rav Adab, Rav Shalman, Travayim, Ibe Kluchas Hamri, they came from the town or city of Kluchas, and they said, Ah, Mitakon Rabbi Yechim and Zaka, the Eilach Beya Asura. Even after the Tekon Rabbi Yechim and Zaka, the Beya remains Asur. Why, my timer? Mary Yabona Beis HaMikdash. Because we're hoping any day now, maybe still today, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. The Yoimru, and they'll say, Ishtaki, don't you remember last year? Milo Yochalnu Beya B'yontif Sheni. There in the environs of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, we ate the Beya on the second day. Because the Yechonam and Zakai had said, we no longer have to say 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Only if the Eidim come the first day will be Kodesh. If they come after Tzeisach Kachovim, if they come after night, then the second will they be Kodesh. No 2 days Kodesh anymore. So therefore they'll say, Ishtakimi lechal lebeyi yom sheni, don't remember that we ate the beya the next day. So hashanami neichal. So now we should also be able to continue eating the next day. For leyadi, but they don't know. Ishtakish te kedusha saying, last year there was Shtei Kedushas, meaning this was already after the Tekan of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'hashta, but now we go back to the original Kedusha Achasi. We go back to the original Takana. What was the original Takana? That Hayoyim Kodesh Olamachar Kodesh. And therefore, Zokti Gemara, that's why we're going to go and say, keep the egg Osir on the second day, so that we do not have any extraordinary Shailas in future years after Meheria Bona Beis Mikdash. If that's the case, why are we accepting Eidus at the end of the day after Shkia, not after Shkia, but after Mincha, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, after the Chorban Beis Mikdash, My time. Why don't we say the same thing? Maybe you want to base the midrash. V'yom rishdakim ilakabalno edes achodesh kol ha'yom kuloi. Don't you remember that last year, after the Tekun of Yechem and Zakai, after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, we accepted Edom even after Min HaMincha Ulamayla. Hashinami Nekabel. Let's continue this even today, continuing with the Edom and HaMincha Lamala. But that's not the rule. That's not the law. Why is it that not the rule? Because then we're going to have the problem with the Shir Shal Yayim. That was how we got into this quandary in the first place. That if we're going to accept the Edom and HaMincha Lamala, it might turn out the Mafreya that the Shir Shal Yayim at the time of the Tamar Shal Bein Aboyim was faulty. It was the Choyl instead of the Yontif Dikir. Says the Gemara, the reason why we don't have to be concerned about that is, Hosam Eid, Hochi Hashta. You can't compare the two cases. Hosam Eid is Mesur LeBezdin. The Bezdin knows what they're doing. They know the rules and the regulations. The Bezdin has all of the Sfarim. They have all of the encyclopedic knowledge of the Halacha. You don't have to worry about them that they're going to say, well, last year we did this, and yes, this year we did that. A Bela Chol Masura, but eggs are laid in the barnyards, in the chicken coops throughout the year, throughout the world, in all Jewish homes, all Jews that own chicken coops. And so therefore, there's a very strong likelihood they're going to make a mistake. And they're going to say, don't you remember that last year the egg was mutter on day number two? Now we should also say that the egg is mutter on day number two of Yontif, but they don't know that things have changed because of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Amar, the Beis continues to be Asur on the second day. Why? Rav now challenges one of the major premises that we started off with. We started off with that after Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai said that we're going to continue taking Edom min HaMincha Ulamala, if it turns out that the Edom today came in time before Shkia, only today will be Rosh Hashanah, tomorrow won't be Rosh Hashanah. And if they come later on, then tomorrow will be Rosh Hashanah and not today. Only one day. That's what we assumed until now. Rabbi said, no. Rava says that even according to Birchim Mazaka that we will accept the Edom and Mincha Lamala and will declare that today is Rosh Hashanah. Not tomorrow. Today is Rosh Hashanah. But it'll still continue Oysayim Kodesh Olamachar Kodesh. That Birchim Mazaka didn't touch. He said, yes, 2 days. Always 2 days. And that's why even today, although in Eretz Yisrael there's no Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, but there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Because that remained intact even after Birchim and Zakeh say, take the Edom the whole day until Shkia, until Tzeis, keep on taking the Edom. So the Edom will come today and say, today was Rosh Hashanah because we saw the new Levana. Nevertheless, Birchim and Zakeh would agree, tomorrow will also be Kodesh because of the old Takana. I'm not going to touch that old Takana. Both days are Kodesh, and therefore, no the Bezeh, Asura Bezeh. So now that we've discussed at some length this week's events about Rosh Hashanah, if any of you own a chicken coop or own a hen without a chicken coop, and any of you are going to have an egg laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah on Tuesday, what's going to be the halacha on Wednesday? Can you use it, yes or no? Rava said yes. It's according to Birchim and Zakkai, the egg is mutter on the second day. But Rav and Shmuel disagreed, and Rav Yosef disagreed, and we had now Rava disagrees, that even, and also the two yin from Kuchlis disagreed. Rav Adda and Rav Shalman Travayu, they said, even after Tekun Rav Yechim Zakkai, Beya Asura, the Beya will be Asur on Wednesday. How we paskan aloha lamaisa v'yomar Rava, and this is Rava that we had already yesterday, we repeat it again, we pass them like Rav in all three cases. In the case of Shabbos and Yontif back to back, that no the bezeh asura bezeh. We pass them like Rav when you have 2 days of Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, like in 2 weeks from now, Mietz Sheman Sukkis, if the hen lays an egg on the first day, says Rav, it'll be mutter on Wednesday on the second day. We pass them like that, Rav. And we also pass on like Rav in 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. I know the bezeh, asura bezeh, because we pass on like Rav, bein lekula, bein lechumra, in all these three cases. And here's where we stop. Any questions, Rabbi Sachs?
Which says Bimshocha Yovel, that was talking about the first Matan Torah, the first giving of the Luchos, I should say. And so was Har Sinai prohibited because they tarried there until after Yom Kippur we got the second set of
Luchos Shniyos.
So the question is, could the behemoths, that whole period was Nesser, or was it in between it was permitted?
You're asking a very good question. The Gemara on the surface doesn't get into those details. The assumption is, right after Matan Torah, we're done, everybody goes home, and everybody can return to the mat. Rashi, in fact, addresses your issue about the difference between the Luchos Rishonis and the Luchos Shniyos. Since it wasn't Negea to the Pshat in the Gemara, I didn't go into it, but if you'd like to look at it in greater detail, you see about 12, 15 lines before the wide lines, the Rashi which begins, Mechli Ksiv, Beluchos Achroinos, Beish lo yale imach, begam ish ayireo, becholahar, gam atoim rabokra yiru, etc. We say to the crow, yalef, I'm looking at the Rashi Mechte Ksiv. Rashi Mechte Ksiv is about 12 lines before the wide line.
Got it.
So Rashi Mechte Ksiv, beluchos achroinos, like you just pointed out. Beish lo yale imach. We say to the crow, yalef amula harahu, kol zman shehu, bahav yosas kiddush shosai, sheshchina olav, asur. Abnestalik Shchina is Mutter. Shemina Mimela, Loma Leilat Kuri Shayusim. What do I have to talk about the Heter by the Luchais Harishoinois? Ulamema Niskalka Shchina Hema Yalabahar. You can return to the mountain. Valuli Niskalka Shchina Mimenu. Now this is your point, Brother Shai. The Shchina didn't leave me Yoy Matan Toira at Echad Bachoydish Hukama Mishkan. That's Rish Chodesh Nissen, which is almost a year later, Viad the Esrim Be'ir, the 20th day of Iyar, Shinal Ha'onon, Voyolumoit Heter, Kimistalik, Melmul Harahu, etc. So you see, Rashi focuses on what you're asking about the Luchos Rishonis, the Luchos Achroinis, and that lengthy period of time, all the way till Chaf Iyar the next year, whether this Issur remained or not. But whenever the Issur finally went away, everybody was allowed to return to the Har. What do I need a posik to go and tell us that? It's going to tell you that each time, if you had minion echad, the first minion said it's aser, you need a new minion to be matir, even though the initial rules and regulations are no longer applicable. Okay, so the Rashi focuses on that.
As long as we're talking about a minion,
yes.
I'd just like to say we could use some help tomorrow at 5:45. I don't know if anybody on the Zoom call can make it. We got by 7. We had a minion, but for Slichas we didn't. Tomorrow we're doubling our efforts 5:45. So I don't know if Shelley or Barry or anybody else listening, studio audience, is available at 5:45 a.m.
I host a shear that overlaps.
Oh, okay.
Oh.